Tonight we're going to look at, is there any hope? And maybe somebody here tonight is really in a bad situation, wondering if there's any hope it's ever going to get better. I want to read you tonight Psalm chapter 3, starting at verse 1. This is written by David. It says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on their jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. In Psalm 3, David is talking about what was going on in his life. His own son, Absalom, was physically trying to overthrow the kingdom. He wanted to kill his dad. If you look in your Bible, above Psalm 3 and the lettering on top, it says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. David asked the question, the same question that I've said sometimes, and maybe you've said sometimes. Is there any hope? Will my situation ever get better? On December 17, 1927, the Navy submarine S-4 was conducting submersion tactics just off the Providencetown, Massachusetts coast. So in December, that water is bitter cold. The submarine came up to the top, and a Navy destroyer, a Coast Guard destroyer, rammed it and penetrated the hull. It immediately began to sink into 110 foot of water, and the water was extremely cold. All the 34 men that were on board survived the immediate wreck. They all went to different parts of the submarine hoping to live through the crash. But the men who went to the back end where the torpedoes were didn't last very long. They ran out of air. There were 6 men that went to the forward compartment, and they survived. The Navy made a huge approach to try to save those men. They sent divers down, but there was a big storm coming, and the water was churning and very difficult to work in. And the Navy divers that were there on the outside of the submarine used Morse code to make contact with those 6 men. They would beat in a message, we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. As those 6 men were running out of air, they used Morse code to tap out, and one of the sailors that was down there in his diving uniform put his head against the submarine, and this is what it said. Is there any hope? Those men all died. There was no way to get them out of the submarine and get them to the top. So have you ever felt hopeless? I've been there a few times in my life where there just didn't seem to be any way out. Have you ever felt like you had more problems than you could count? David definitely had some problems here. There's no doubt about it. The whole nation was in rebellion against him. We always think David was one of the most loved kings of Israel's history, and he was. But all of us go through those seasons in life when some of the people that loved us the most, they hate us the most now. Some of you have gone through family divorces, and it's not pretty. Sometimes they're not married very long, and it breaks up, and it breaks your heart. And what used to be love becomes hatred. Have you ever felt a flood of pain and a heartache so deeply that you never thought you would recover? Folks, those are the things that went through David's mind. King David in this psalm is literally running for his life. His son doesn't want just the kingdom. He wants his dad dead. If you can imagine somebody hating their father so much, they want him dead. This is not a pretty picture. What we want tonight is for God's people to know, no matter who's against you, if you are a believer in Christ, you have somebody that's for you. And it's so important for us to understand that, because in our own strength, sometimes it feels like there is no hope. Now, Dave, I don't know if I've turned in Romans 15, 13 or not. There we go. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, our hope is not in our sounds. Our hope is not that I can figure this out, that I can make a difference. Our hope, when everything else fails, is the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to make him your first hope. Before you try all the other stuff, turn to the Lord. David, it certainly seemed that everything was against him. David had been king for a number of years. If you recall, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. She expected a child, and they lost the child. But now the years have rolled on. This is like 20 years after that happened. And David is thinking everything's going just swimmingly. Everything's okay. And sometimes life is like that. You know, when you plant a seed, I can remember when our kids were little, we put some strawberries out in our garden. And the kids went out the next morning expecting fully to pick strawberries. Why would you plant strawberries if you're not going to pick strawberries? And so we had to explain to them, this takes a while, you know. It isn't going to be today or tomorrow. It's going to be months, and we're going to have strawberries. And eventually, of course, the strawberries did start to produce. But sometimes on the other side of that, sometimes you can plant some things in your life that you're not going to like the harvest. And sometimes that harvest doesn't come right away. Sometimes it's years later. We have to get used to this. I'm going to talk more about this in a few minutes. But the Lord does forgive us when we confess. But that doesn't mean all's well. It means you're forgiven. But you still what? Man or a woman reaps what they sow. And so I want to talk about that as we get going here, but extremely important. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 1, David asked a question, Lord, how many are my foes? Because in all honesty, he didn't even know. He knew that his son was running a rebellion. He knew that more and more people were following him. He knew it was time to get out of town because they were coming. And they were going to kill him if they could. How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. David was a sinner, but so are you and I, aren't we? So was Absalom. When you say God will never deliver a person who honestly has confessed sin, you're missing the boat, because God will deliver us. He may allow us to have trouble, and he says in this life, we're going to have trouble. But he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. And because we're in Christ, we are going to overcome the world. In chapter 3, verse 6, David says, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. Is there hope when everybody's against you? You know, the Bible asks that question several different places. And the good news is, if God is for you, who can succeed against you? What we want to do is be sure that we've got our sins confessed up, that we're on right standing with God. That doesn't mean we're not going to reap what we sow, but it means God is now for you. If he allows trouble in your life, it's to teach you a lesson. It's not to destroy you anymore. A result of his sin with Bathsheba, David was promised trouble in his life. I say this sadly. Many Christians believe I can do anything I want, and all I have to do is confess it, and I'm forgiven, and that finishes it. Folks, that is absolutely not true. You are forgiven. You're in right standing with God again. But God cannot lie, and God said you are going to reap what you've sown. So be careful how you sow. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, David hid his sin for a whole year. But finally, God confronted him with the story of a lady and a sheep. And David got really mad about the story. he was going to have the person killed that did it. And Nathan the prophet came to David and he said, David, you're the man. You're the man that stole another man's wife. David finally does confess here. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what's evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonite. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I'll take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he'll sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I'll do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die. And the Lord did take away David's sin, and we rejoice in that. But if you honestly think, as 1 John 1:9 says, this is one of my favorite verses. I hope it's one of yours. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you think that means you're not going to reap what you've sown, you are wrong. God will forgive you, but you don't just get away easy. That's why we don't teach easy believism. You can do whatever you want, just confess it as sin and everything's good. Life doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. He will forgive you. But Galatians 6, verse 7 tells the other half of the story. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. David had sown sin. David was going to reap the results of that. You and I are in exactly the same boat. We can't just... I had a young man tell me not too long ago. He said, I'm going to get a divorce from my wife. I'm going to confess it as sin because she hadn't done anything worthy of divorce. And the Lord's going to forgive me. And I told him, you can do that if you want to. But if you think that's the end of the story, you're sadly mistaken. You are going to reap what you sow. You never reap right away what you sow. Some crops take longer than others. Some sins will pay you back for the rest of your life. We need to be careful how we live. But when the situation seems hopeless, the people were saying of David, even though he confessed his sin, God's not going to help him. David had another side of the story. And you and I can too. Yes, we have sinned, all of us. Yes, we're still reaping because of that stuff. But God is for us when we honestly confess. And he'll turn even the hard situations into blessing. It says in 2 Samuel 15, verse 2. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Atherpal, the Gileonite, David's counselor, to come from Goloth, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. When it looks like it's totally hopeless, everybody's following my son now. Everybody wants my head off. And they're saying, God won't help me. Absalom was an extremely handsome man. Absalom had hair like I'm going to have in heaven. The Bible says his hair was so thick and so beautiful, He had to keep cutting it off because it gave him headaches. It was so heavy. That's the way I'm going to be in heaven. So it's going to be wonderful. But I want to tell you, Absalom not only was a very handsome, well-built man, he was also a very skillful liar. Absalom knew how to tell people whatever they wanted to hear to get them on his side. Absalom was smooth. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 1, it talks about Absalom. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He'd answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there's no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me, and I'd see that they receive justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Is everybody that goes to trial right? The obvious answer is no. They're not all right. But Absalom told them what they wanted to hear. And the people literally fell in love with him. They wanted him to be king. British statesman James Cullen said, "A lie can be halfway around the world before the truth has got its boots on." And that's the truth. People love lies. And who's the master liar? Satan himself. And he will equip his followers with all kinds of wonderful stories people love to hear, and they'll support them even though it's not true. And so Absalom gains followers, but David knew something about his God that Absalom did not know. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." People who lie and cheat their way to success think that's the end of the story, but it's not. There is a God in heaven, and he does see what's going on this earth, and he does care. And he will support them that will honestly confess their sin and try to make it right. Will he still reap what he sowed? Yes, he will. But God's going to do it in a way that he can keep his promise. The Lord had promised David that he was going to be the king, that he was going to bless Israel through David. And David kept trusting that, even though he had fallen short, and we all do, yet God had a wonderful plan for David. And David just keep trying to serve his Lord and to trust his Lord. When the bottom drops out of your life, remember, although David's not on the throne anymore, God still is. And you can trust him. He's going to take care of you. In Psalm 3, verse 6, David said, "I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, my God, strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked." In other words, David says, "I'm surrounded, but I'm not afraid because I've got one person on my side and that's all I need." Any person with God on your side, you are going to win in the end. And so David is trusting the Lord. Sometimes life gets hard. It may feel like the whole world is against you, but our Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 18, he said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you." Now, there are almost 2 billion Christians on this earth today. But out of those 2 billion that claim to be Christian, how many are truly Christ followers? I'm going to say it's probably a third of that. We are in the minority on this earth. We are in the minority in our country. And if it surprises you that the world says you as a Christian are not worthy to adopt a child or even have a foster child in your home because what you're teaching is against the welfare of the children, don't be surprised at that. They don't follow the Lord. They're not going to follow his word. They're going to hate you because you're trying to stand for the truth. You know how to define a boy from a girl. This world does not know how to do that anymore. It's a remarkable thing. Pharaoh, 4,000 years ago, said, kill all the boys, keep the girls alive. He could tell the difference, but today they can't. The Lord wants us to know when people turn against you because of your stand for Christ, just keep standing. If the Lord is on your side, you're going to come out of this just fine. It's going to work out. Without ignoring his problems, David lifted his eyes to the Lord, and he said again in Psalm 3, verse 3, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. Yes, David failed the Lord. Yes, David sinned with Bathsheba. Yes, he's reaping what he sowed. But God still had to keep his promise given to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord said David was going to be the great king. And David just keeps trusting God's promise. In Psalm 118 verse 6, it says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, I got to tell you, people can make your life pretty miserable. People can hurt you and harm you, but they can't take your eternal life from you. And so we just keep trusting. In Psalm 3:3, again, David says, you, Lord, are a shield around me. In other words, God is my protection. It doesn't matter how many people are against me. If God's for me, guess what? I'm going to be just fine. That doesn't mean they won't take my life. It doesn't mean they might not torture me. But it's going to be just fine in the end. My glory, the one who lifts my head. David was in disgrace because of what he had done many years earlier with Bathsheba. Now his own son is chasing him. David's literally running for his life, but David says, you, Lord, are the lifter of my head. You're the one that keeps me going. Our Lord answers our cry, and the Lord answered David's cry. In Psalm 3, verse 4, David said, I called out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. David may have been forced from his throne, but God was still on his throne. And nobody can force our God off his throne. Again, it's so important for you to understand, nothing can happen to you or I unless our Heavenly Father allows it. And if he allows it, believe it or not, it's for our good. He has a reason. We don't allow our children to be hurt unless there's a good reason to allow it. And he won't allow it for us either. In Psalm 34, verse 6, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 6. There we go. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Again, it's so important for us to understand, if God is on your side and God loves you and you've made your heart right, he is going to allow you to reap what you sow, but he's going to protect you. He's going to be for you. In Psalm 3, 5, David says, I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. David could have been up counting sheep. I just can't sleep. There's so much wrong. There's so many things going on. But David said, I sleep like a baby. Why? Because he trusted the Lord. Remember our Lord with his disciples in the storm on the boat? All the disciples are frantic because the boat's starting to go down. This is the big storm. They could all die. What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping in the front of the boat. Why? Because he knows the boat's going to get to the other shore. If you know the end of the story, you don't have to fret the small stuff. And we know the end of the story. we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to be just fine. Everything's coming unraveled. There's 10,000 people chasing David, and David's sleeping like a baby. The same can be true for us. In the midst of all of our troubles, as long as you have your sins confessed up, God's for you. He loves you. He treasures you. He wants to help you. In Psalm 3:8, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be upon your people. Deliverance is from the Lord. You don't need a pastor or a priest or somebody else to deliver you. You don't need the policeman sometimes. You don't need the doctor sometimes. You need the Lord all the time. The Lord will use the policeman. The Lord will use the doctor. But in the end, it's from the Lord. Either he's with you and for you, or he's against you and you don't have any hope. David knew the Lord was for him. He had confessed what he did was wrong. He knew he was reaping what he sowed because the Lord said, from your own family, I'm going to raise somebody up who's going to oppose you. Sure enough, here comes Absalom. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. Another one of David's sons tried to overthrow the kingdom too. No peace in your family. We as Christians have to think when we're going to make a bad choice, when we're going to clearly disobey a commandment of the Lord. Yes, you can be forgiven. But think before you make that decision, because you may reap the rest of your life from that. David did. The Lord was merciful, but David had trouble all the rest of the days of his life. In Psalm 3:2, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. The good news for all of us is God delivers sinners. God loves sinners. God died for sinners. The Bible says when we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. He's for us, not against us. David's enemy said something that there would be no deliverance in God. And yet David knew, God has forgiven me. Somehow, God's going to get me out of this. In Psalm 3:8 again, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be upon your people. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to take just a moment and savor that verse, because it's, to me, it's exciting. Even if your whole family turns against you because of your stand for Christ and God's for you, it's going to be okay. Even if the whole state of Michigan turned against you because you're going to stand for Christ, it's going to be okay. Even if the whole nation or the whole world were against you because of your stand for Christ, going to turn out all right. Folks, we have nothing to fear when the Lord is on our side. We need to make sure that we've got things right. When you think about the Lord being for you, I want you to think of somebody that just with a word threw out 100 billion galaxies in this world. He built all the mountains with just a word. He formed the seas with just a word. He's more than able to deliver one person against everybody if need be. God loves you. God is for you. He's the one, the coach, racing down the sideline. And he's saying, go, go, go. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you on his team. He loves you to support. He wants to see you succeed. God cares for you. He's given himself for you, and he wants to support you. In Isaiah 49, verse 16, see if I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. God's got your name on the palm of his hand. We pray for people. We got a prayer list and we pray for them. But once in a while, I forget my prayer list and I go, oh, what was that prayer now? God never does that. You're constantly on his heart. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his son or daughter tonight. He's never going to let you go. That doesn't mean he won't discipline you. That doesn't mean he's going to take away sowing and reaping from you. But he's going to work in your heart where you realize what I plant, I'm going to reap. I'm going to be more careful about what I plant. Folks, if you want sand burrs, go ahead and plant them. But I don't want any sand burrs. And so I have never planted one. If you want corn, you plant corn. If you want the blessings of God, keep planting good things. But even when you do sin, and we all do, know that God's for you. Don't let sin stay in your life. Don't be like David here. Don't take a year to confess it. Confess quickly. Deal with it the best you can. And then when the time comes for reaping, and you know it's coming, ask the Lord to make it as easy as he can. But he's not going to take that away. And so I just encourage you tonight, keep your hope in the Lord. When others say the Lord will never help you, you know different. If God's for you, who can be against you? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, even though David brought this on himself, even though he was dead wrong in what he did, you forgave him, and you used him after that greatly. Father, he did indeed reap what he sowed. And the same is going to be absolutely true for us. So, Lord, give us the wisdom to sow wisely, to never go against what your word says is absolute truth. Father, bless us tonight. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.